This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I'm your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by the lovely Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
Yeah. We today have a great episode for you because we're taking something that, I mean, admittedly, I find incredibly dull, boring, and stupid. Let's just be honest here, Bree.
Money, it's not a fun topic for me unless you're giving it to me free of everything. Just here you go. Get a gift.
Yeah, but it runs our entire world because money is one of those things like we cannot deny it exists because it's not a greedy standpoint we're looking at money from. It's a freedom standpoint. When we get total control over our money, we have control over our lives, really.
Yeah, yeah. The whole time you're talking, I just keep hearing in my head, like, money make the world go round. Money makes the world go round.
It does. So we have Allison Baggerly on today. She's the founder of Inspired Budget and author of the book Money Made Easy. She helps women break free from paycheck to paycheck cycle through budgeting, which she changed my mind about, Bree. She has two kids, ages 11 and 9, and she currently resides in Texas. And while you're listening, listen for Allison's game-changing way to handle unexpected expenses with just a post-it note. And so we hope you enjoy our episode with Allison.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Welcome, Allison, to the podcast. I'm so excited to talk all things money by someone who is not petrified by it, who has gone through all of the mistakes and the trials and challenges. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Let's get into it because I love that you used to be a teacher because I also used to be a teacher. And I find that a lot of people who get into this entrepreneurial world of wanting to help people are former teachers.
Yes, which is a wonderful thing. And then also not because we still need good teachers. So we can't have everyone leaving. But yeah, I used to be a teacher for 10 years and my husband is actually still a teacher. So I figure we have one teacher in the family, so we're good.
Yeah, it's like your public service. That's how I described it. Yes. With mine. It was my public service. When my husband was bringing in the income, I was doing good in the world. And we're still doing good in the world in this respect as well. I want to dig into your story because you have a fantastic one of how you and your husband paid off over $111,000 in debt. How did you not so much do this, but how did you get the courage and where did you like find the steps to do this?
So I wish I could sit here and say, one day I sat down and I decided I want this for myself because yeah. I love myself enough to change my habits. But that would be a lie. Actually, I'm just going to come out with the truth. My husband and I got married. I was 24 years old when we got married, and we got pregnant when I was 24, and we had a baby all at the age of 24. So we got unexpectedly pregnant on our honeymoon. When we come back from our honeymoon and we realize this, we realize we cannot afford daycare when daycare comes. Mm-hmm. So not only are we pregnant and we have increased medical bills and I need to buy new clothes, all those things, whenever it's time to put the baby in daycare, we couldn't afford it. And we certainly couldn't afford me to leave my job and stay home. So we were like, oh, like, why are we struggling with this? Let's look at our money and let's total up our debt. And that was the first time my husband and I ever had a conversation about money, which I do not recommend waiting until you are married and with child to have a financial conversation, but that's our truth. And so we sat down. I remember we were in this small apartment and we were sitting at this old hand-me-down kitchen table and we had these mismatched IKEA chairs and we started listing out, going through together our debts and what we were combined. And that's when we realized, oh my gosh, we had $111,000 of debt on two teacher salaries, our minimum monthly payments, not including our mortgage that we ended up taking on a year later, our minimum monthly payments were $1,400 a month.
Oh my God.
Which was, yes, which was almost half of my salary as a teacher. And it was in that moment that we were like, okay, here's the plan. We are going to figure out where our money is going, what we're spending it on, and we are going to try to free up $900 in monthly payments a month, or just free up $900, because that's mm-hmm. how much we figured daycare was going to cost back in 2012. And so we said, we just need to be able to free this money up before the baby needs to go to daycare. And we're going to do that by paying off debt so we no longer have those minimum balances. So mm-hmm. it did not happen in 9 months. It took us 4.5 years to pay off that amount of money because we weren't making a fortune.
Mm-hmm. But that's realistic. And I love that you're upfront about that because a lot of people see these plans that, oh, you know, pay off your debt and you set these unrealistic expectations of how mm-hmm. fast you should be able to do it. And then mm-hmm. all the shame comes on you that you're not able to do it so fast. So thank you for sharing that. It took time. It took 4.5 years to do because you were on a teacher salary.
It took time. It took stopping and starting and wanting to give up and more pep talks. We ended up having another baby on the way or ended up growing our family. We had another baby. So then we had two kids in daycare and that's going to impact your money and how much money you can send to debt. And it was a process, but it was so worth it.
Mm-hmm. So worth it. Yeah. And I need to put a little focus too on working from teacher salaries. Because mm-hmm. there's like a give and take here when we talk about budgeting. Budgeting isn't just about how much less you can spend, but mm-hmm. I think you also have to look at how can I make more money coming in? Did you guys ever have those discussions about how can we supplement this?
Absolutely, we did. That took us a little bit longer to have those conversations because our first thing, because when we sat down to do this, this is a lot of information.
Oh, yeah.
On two 20-somethings who don't know anything about money and budgeting. I didn't even know what a budget was. I thought a budget was like a punishment. I was like, oh, I have to be on a budget. What did I do wrong? How did
Can we
I
just
end
raise
up
our
this?
Hands for that one who thinks a budget is like a punishment?
Yes,
if you're listening right now. Yes, me too.
And that's the thing is I used to think that, Joanne. I used to think that a budget meant I was bad with money or dumb or stupid or I had these skeletons in my closet. And I just said, okay, well, I own it. I own that I messed up. I own that I took out all this debt, but we're going to move forward with a budget because this is what I have to do. And I went into it with that mindset. Mm-hmm. But then over time, it was so incredible to see how I looked forward to actually writing a budget. And something you need to know about me is I love spending money. I get a high from it. Like I enjoy
the dopamine.
It.
Yes.
Yes. I get that dopamine hit. I'm like, oh, got this happiness feeling in my heart.
Put down the credit card when you get a business credit card too, and it's metal, and you're just like, boom.
Boom.
Like,
exactly. And I had that personality. I had that drawn. I still feel that way at times. But the thing is writing a budget, I started looking forward to it because I realized that for the first time in my life ever, I had peace of mind with my money. And I almost became addicted to that feeling. I was like, wait a minute, a budget can give me peace of mind. It can give me confidence. It can give me security. And so I stopped seeing my budget as this consequence and this plan for fixing all of my past mistakes. And instead I was like, I like this. I want more of it.
That is a great mindset shift, becoming addicted to budgeting instead of becoming addicted to spending. And you mentioned it was just something that happened organically too.
And really, it's not even addicted to budgeting as it is. I loved the feeling. I loved the peace of mind, being able to know, hey, if I get a flat tire and I need to get a new tire or pay to have, I don't know, something else that can go wrong on my car go wrong. If I have to fix that, it's going to be okay. I don't have this looming fear of, I don't even know if I have the money to cover that. I know if I have the money or not, or I know I have money in savings. And so it was that sense of control that I had never had before, ever with my money, the sense of control that maybe I didn't see my parents have. And I saw my budget as that ticket, as that key, as that thing that led to the control.
So it's not so much this constraining aspect, it's this opening up. And I could really identify with that sense of fear because I did not initially get the dopamine hits from spending money. It was all fear. I didn't want to spend anything at all because I'm like, what if I need it later? What if something happens? And I wonder with you, Allison, like you say, if something came up, you'd be able to spend it on, you know, you have the money to spend. But what about like things that you know you just want, like things you know you want? Did it change that for you in any way, knowing that you can get it and not worry?
Kind of. I'm going to say that I am still a very much an impulsive person, especially when it comes to spending. I'm an impulsive shopper and impulsive spender. So it helped me rein in. I had to learn over years. I mean, it's been 12 years since this whole journey started. Mm-hmm. I have figured out what I need as a person to kind of rein in some of those impulsive purchases and also figure out what I want and asking myself, do I really want it? Because for so long, I just saw things. I was like, I want that. I want this. I want that. I want this. And after time, I ended up with all this crap that I didn't actually want because I couldn't differentiate between what I want and what looks pretty and what I value and what I should be prioritizing.
So are we talking about like how when we go to Target or wherever and we come in and we need three things on our list and we come out with $250 and you're like, but I got this new lamp and I got these new pillows and I got...
And you're singing Ariana Grande and you're like, I see it. I want it.
Exactly. I actually used to have a rule where, and I'm not as... I used to call Target the motherland, and I had a rule that I could never get a basket in Target, that anything I went in, I had to hold it. I had to physically hold it in my hands, and if it couldn't fit in my hands, I couldn't take it with me.
Oh my gosh.
So I would be getting these things, and I'd be holding all these awkward things. Like I'd get a box of diapers, and then I'd put stuff on top of the box.
Oh my God.
Exactly, because so often we just get what we want in life, and we have this instant gratification, this instant satisfaction with getting, and it doesn't allow us to stop and think, well, what do I really want? And what am I willing to trade off? What am I giving up for being able to get that thing or that item?
And I can see how budgets can help you do that. And I want to hear your tips on how to create that budget to get some more control in your life right after we take this break. Hey, all, it is Joanne.
And Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explains, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
So Allison, I love all of this benefit that you could get from having a budget. Like, it's turned in my mind that it's not a punishment. It's actually something that can help you. So what is one of the first steps people should take when they're starting to create their own budget?
Of course. So I recommend the very first thing you do is you actually know when your money comes in and when it goes out. So often I work with people that we say, okay, we're going to write a budget. It's going to start on December 1st and end on December 31st. And that's how I originally thought budgeting should work. However, I was never paid on the 1st. So I was starting a budget in the middle of my paycheck cycle and ending it also in the middle of my paycheck cycle. So instead, what I recommend is getting a calendar. And I have so many examples of this on my Instagram, but I just have a calendar and I write down our paydays first. So I get paid once a month. My husband gets paid twice a month. And then I write down all of our bills. So it allows me to visually see. I'm a visual person. I like to see. I give my paycheck a job. What bills is that paycheck's job to cover? And that allows me to visually see just for the most important things, just for our living expenses, which paycheck is going to cover which bills. And then I take that period of time and I write a budget for just that period of time. Maybe it's 2 weeks. And that's exactly what you should be doing is budgeting per paycheck. Or budgeting by paycheck. And this allows you to create this, almost this open and closed door timetable, if you will, that makes sense. It starts on the day you were paid and it ends the day before you get paid again. And all of your bills go in that. And then also any of your variable expenses like groceries, restaurants, gas for your cars, expenses for your children. Yeah. And we find a way to make sure that we're not spending more money than we have coming in.
That is a really great tip. And I love what you say about giving your paycheck a job, because if you don't give it a job, it's just going to do what it wants and go to Target, the motherland.
Yes, the motherland. Or it's going to go to who knows where. I mean, there are times even today that if I don't save right away, I will spend the money.
Oh, yeah.
I am my own worst enemy. If money is in my checking account, it's fair game.
Yeah.
If I want to prioritize saving money or paying off debt or whatever it is that your listener wants to prioritize, you have to give your paycheck that job and have it actually follow through on that job before we get the best of ourselves and go spend it on who knows what.
Oh, yeah. First thing I do when I get my paycheck is I have to put like some of it in savings, because I live off of that. What do I have in my account? And if it's there, it's cool. My kryptonite is stopping to get something to eat or to get drinks. Like, it's the little stuff. And it's funny how that stuff adds up, right, guys? You're just talking about even like Target. It's the little things. I have no problem spending anything under $50 on something on a whim. But that adds up.
Bree, can I give you a little tip for that specific problem?
Yeah.
So what I highly recommend you do is open up a separate checking account. Maybe it's just an Ally account. You can get them for free online. You transfer money over into that account, and that is your whatever the heck I want card. That is your debit card that you spend on those types of things. And it doesn't allow you to overdraft. Right? We want something that's not going to charge you overdraft fees, something that's not going to have any sort of minimum fees. And it just allows you to separate out that feeling of, I just want to spend on whatever it is at that moment. And when you're done, you're done. When you're out of money, you're out of money. And that's your signal, literally, right? Your signal that, hey, I've spent the amount of money that I've budgeted for myself. So the rest of the money in my checking account, that goes to things like groceries and gas. And my kid has to go to a birthday party and I need to buy the kid a birthday gift. That's no longer Bree's coffee money and grabbing something, whatever she wants it money.
Yeah. That idea is phenomenal because with me, like I go the other extent where I just have all of this guilt on me for spending money that I will deny myself those things that make me happy, like stopping for a coffee because I'm like, oh no, I shouldn't spend that right now. But having a set aside, do whatever you want, that is powerful right there.
Yes. And you can let it add up. Some people like to do this in cash. I used to do this in cash, but you know, we're living in this cashless world. So why not just get a whole separate debit card that you transfer money over to? Because then there's that physical boundary, right? Boundaries are good, especially with our money. We need them. Yet so often it's really hard to set a boundary when you're having all of these expenses coming out of one account. And then all of a sudden you go back and look at it and it's like, well, I crossed the line. I broke my boundary, but I didn't realize it. This allows you to see that boundary very clear and realize it. And that's all what budgeting is. It's creating boundaries that match up with your goals and your values. So if your value is to go get yourself a Starbucks latte every single day, you can put it in your budget. It doesn't mean you're bad or a shopaholic or you spend too much money on coffee so you'll never be able to afford a home. It doesn't mean any of that. Mm-hmm. We just need to make sure that your budget lines up with your goals and your values and that you're not going into debt.
Yes. Okay. I love this. And this actually makes me really excited because it solves like some problems that I have with spending money. Like I say guilt, but like the things that I actually value is education. And so I will spend money on all the courses and all the books and I'll be like, nope, this will help. Nope, this will help. This will help right here too. And so I do all those things. So Allison, I want to know, when you're raising kids, you have these unexpected expenses that come up that may drain your bank account. And I want to know your strategy for dealing with that right after this break.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
So as a parent, taking care of kids, they're totally unpredictable. What do you do when kids' expenses come in and they break your budget?
Oh, I blame them. No, I'm kidding.
It's all their fault, those kids.
It's all their fault. Yes. I charge them rent. No, that is so hard. I think that I am very much a type A person. I like being able to know exactly what's going to come out, what's going to come in. Mm-hmm. So when something catches me off guard, whether it's an unexpected trip to the urgent care and my insurance is awful and now I have $100 that I have to spend there, or it's new shoes because I didn't realize that my kid was growing way too fast and now his shoes are all small and shoes are ridiculously expensive.
Or your son's band decides they're going to go to Disneyland this year and all of a sudden you have to pay $2,500 in five months.
That's a big one.
That's a big one.
Yeah. That's a big one. Or you find out that, hey, your son needs a surgery in the next 5 months.
Yes.
Yeah, this happened to us and it's going to cost $5,000 and it has to be done or else it's going to impact him for the rest of his life. So whether it's small or whether it's large, these things are going to happen. And so my thought is, instead of saying, well, I have all of these unexpected expenses that come up, I might as well not budget. It's not going to work for me. No one can make this work. I'm never going to get it 100% right. I do two things. The first thing I do is I expect the unexpected. And while I may not expect the $5,000 medical expense or the $2,500 Disney unexpected Disney vacation that not even the entire family gets to go on, I can't expect some of those smaller purchases, some of those things that come up whenever I'm going to unpack my kids' clothes for the winter and realize none of the jackets fit. Now we have to get jackets. And so what I do is I keep a buffer in my budget. So every single time I write a budget, I put in a buffer. This is my catch-all. This is the perfect kid catch-all. So what it is, it's the line item in my budget. Just like I would put Netflix on my budget, I write the word buffer, and I will leave about $100 to $200 buffer every paycheck. So that way, when my son does need new shoes, or we do have to pay for a field trip, my buffer can catch that unexpected expense, because I'm not going to be able to have the foresight to see every single thing, nor do I really want to have to do that. Sounds like a lot of work. So when it comes to that, I always add a buffer in my budget. The second thing I do is I have something, it's my secret weapon.
Ooh, and it is, I like secrets.
I know. And it is the mini budget. And this is perfect whenever an unexpected expense hits and it throws you off.
Okay.
And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I might as well just crumple my budget up, throw it away, and I'm going to start over next week whenever I get paid. And when that happens to me, all bets are off. I'll go on a spending spree.
I was going to say, that will throw me into an emotional, okay, I got to go spend some money so that I feel
better
about
this.
And do you
know why? Do you know why? It's because you feel like you have lost a sense of control over your money and you are searching for control. And so we find control by spending. That gives us this false sense of control. So instead of turning to that and having this false sense of control that only we end up having this spending hangover,
right,
that we have to deal with afterwards.
The next day, you're like, oh God.
Yes.
Can I return this?
We're doing the walk of shame to our bank app. Exactly. With the walk of shame to return whatever we bought. Instead of doing that, I say, okay, I feel like my feet have been pulled out against me. The rug has been pulled out from under me. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure what's going on. I got hit with this unexpected expense or something happened. I'm going to create a mini budget. And what I do is I throw away my old budget and I will literally get like a sticky note. And I will write down, how much money do I have in my checking account right now at this moment? And what are all of my necessary expenses until payday? Mm-hmm. And I say, what do I have to have? And I give myself a really small, miniature budget to give me back that sense of control instead of seeking it out in something that's just going to hurt me or my family or have that sense of frustration or shame later on. I take back that control in the form of a mini budget and I will stick that sucker on the fridge. And when my kids say, can we get this? I'll say, oh, look at the mini budget. It's not listed there. Maybe next month. Maybe we can add that item in next month. But this right here is what we have left until we get paid again on Friday.
Mm-hmm. That's a great thing to teach kids too. And I also love like the taking of control through sticky note, because that is really what we're seeking when that happens. And it could be why we're rebels too. It's like, we want the control back for ourselves and we don't want people to tell us what to do.
Absolutely.
I love that. And you've given me so much to think about and turned my world around about budgets, because you're right. At the beginning, I did think it was a punishment and I can see.
That's okay.
That's okay.
That's why I'm here.
Exactly. So what is coming up right now for you, Allison, that you are excited about?
Well, I'm excited about my free budget class. I have a free budget class where I share my 4-step framework to budgeting your way to wealth and paying off debt. And then I also have a really big class at the beginning of every year. So I'm already gearing up for that. And I cannot wait because it allows me to just be in my favorite spot, which is teaching. So if your listeners want to check out the free budget class, I know you'll probably leave a link in the show notes for that. Mm-hmm. That's like that on demand, get access to it right now. And I also give away a freebie at the end of the class for anyone who stays through the end.
Ooh,
that's awesome. And yeah, we will definitely have a link in the show notes. So go to our show notes and click on Allison's class and go and register. And Allison, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we were just talking about money this morning, Bree, and like how much money our kids cost us with all the unexpected school expenses.
I
think this interview came at such a good time for both of us.
Oh my gosh, yes. It was funny because like you just had to pay for a Disney trip. And I talk about that in the episode, how I had to deal with an unexpected Disney band trip. And it just, it's those unexpected things that pop up that make it feel like I'm constantly running up a hill of sand and I'm never making any progress.
It's true. And it's especially aggravating because they're not even Disney trips for us.
I know. Right. They're great. I love my kids and I want to get them everything so they can be happy. But my bank account just goes, really? Really? As I saw a meme the other day, it was like, I want to travel more. My bank account goes like, where? To the park?
No, I agree. And something that I don't think we talk enough about in society is the actual like numbers involved with things, because we kind of gloss over money. Do you feel like you do that? I'm like, oh, it's so much money and I paid a large amount, but I will not say publicly what large amount I paid because number one, I don't want to seem ungrateful. And number two, I think it's all in us that it's not okay to talk about money, when really money has such an influence on all of our lives that if we really knew what other people were spending, what things cost, what other people were making, I think it would give us so much power as women.
I think it would too. I mean, I think that you just hit a good point there. Like when it comes to money, let me kind of back this up even a little bit more. Like Allison talked about how she felt like budget was a punishment. And that's how mm-hmm. I feel too. I feel like if I'm being put on a budget, then I must have messed something up. I also know, though, on the flip side, that it's a responsible thing to do and that, you know, you should be doing a budget to be more aware of things. But like you said, it kind of like with society, it's all about keeping up with the Joneses. We want to be able to keep up with what other people are doing. If you see other people doing it, you think you should be able to. But there's so many more fine pieces that we don't talk about that we just assume that we're doing it wrong if we can't keep up with everybody else. And that's not true.
So something really interesting that I learned about money in particular is this whole paying large amounts for things, because I've been taught like, oh, that's a waste of money. Why would you pay so much for that? Why would you pay so much for that? And I didn't realize the psychology that goes into it when you invest in something for yourself. So when, of course, we talk about things that we think are expensive, that other people are like, no, that's too expensive. It actually changes what you do in your life when you have that much on the line. Like it's putting skin in the game.
When
you put skin in the game, you actually work towards it. So that's why I think conversations like this are so important to have, because there's that missing piece in our culture, especially among women, that we should not spend money on ourselves and we should not invest in ourselves.
Oh, yeah. But the mom math that like if we spend anything on ourselves, it's selfish.
Yeah. So here's the thing I'm tying it back to, because you said something like, I must be doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And I think the point that gets missed is that a lot of times when you invest in yourself, say, and I'm going to make this really, really concrete, and I'm going to give numbers, and you know the number I'm going to give, because I gave it to our balance group the other day about the mistake, the thing I like to spend money on is education. I love education. I love courses. I love learning how to do things, but this education tends to be really expensive. And people who are not in like the online entrepreneurship world don't know how expensive this education is. So I'm going to tell you, this coaching program that I just signed up for No Guilt Mom, it is $25,000 a year, $25,000. And you might hear that and be like, oh my gosh, Joanne, you are insane. Who would spend that amount of money on something? Insane.
You're like, here.
But what you get from that is, first of all, we didn't have the money right away. And there's a whole backstory about how we learned what minimum payments on the credit card really mean. I could go into that another time. But that $25,000, it's not so much about the education. It's great information. It's great education. It's about the motivation that it puts behind you. Like knowing that we spent that much money, my work drive has increased from this just minimum level to I'm giving like 150% in knowing and actually implementing all of the things I'm learning because we put that much on the line for this. So it changes your behavior when you use money in this way. Having that much money on the line is like, puts that little fear in me being like, I better make this worth it. And you put in the work. And that's how you get the results. And that's how you get more money. And I think that that conversation gets missed a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, there's a lot of financial education that we are just not taught. Like I remember back when I was in high school, I was taught how to balance a checkbook, and that was as much, yeah. I think we might've done like in that particular class I took, that was basically like life skills, which I don't even know if they still offer in high school, but it taught you how to make a budget, but a very slim, it didn't give very many details. So mm-hmm. I have always struggled with this. And one thing Allison said, and I was so excited about as soon as we were done recording, I went and told Miguel when he got home, I'm like, I know. So we've been struggling with the whole budget thing lately. I'm like, okay, I know what we need to do. We need to give our paycheck a job. And when I would explain to him what Allison said in this episode about the whole like giving your paycheck a job, he goes, that makes so much sense. Because we kept been trying to do it from the 1st to the 31st with different paychecks coming in at different times. And neither of us really knowing what we're throwing into the joint checking necessarily. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited to try a lot of these things that Allison had. It's awesome. And I'm going to take her free course. I'm very excited for that.
Totally. Totally. Like her thing about giving your paycheck a job makes so much sense because then you're not dealing with these imaginary things that you don't know what are happening. You're dealing with the stuff that, you know, is a set amount. What I find harder is when your income is variable, when it goes up and down and you don't exactly know like how much is coming in and how much is coming out. And that's why when you have to be like, okay, well, this much just came in, let's give that a job. And this much just came in, let's give that a job.
That is a whole nother ball game of planning. But I mean, that's whole ball game. Basically what I'm hoping anybody walks away with from this episode is that one, you're not necessarily doing anything wrong if you're struggling. Like the majority of us are struggling and it was probably because we didn't have enough education to start off with. Two, you can learn at any given time and putting that time, energy, effort, and money into yourself to learn is worth it. Mm-hmm. And three, Allison knows she just go with Allison, man. Check out her stuff. She was amazing.
Check out her stuff. Yeah, she was amazing. So remember, the best mom is a happy mom. Take care of you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Hey there. I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting Podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.